Second Samuel 12. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, "There were two men in a city, the one wealthy and the other poor. The wealthy man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing at all except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nurtured, and it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat scraps from him, and drink from his cup, and lie in his lap, and was like a daughter to him. Now a visitor came to a wealthy man, and he could not bring himself to take any animal from his own flock or his own herd, to prepare for the traveler who had come to him. So he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." Then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this certainly deserves to die, so he must make restitution for the lamb four times over, since he did this thing and had no compassion." Nathan then said to David, "You yourself are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. It is I who anointed you as king over Israel, and it is I who rescued you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house, and put your master's wives into your care, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck and killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife as your wife, and you have slaughtered him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now then, the sword shall never leave your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. This is what the Lord says. Behold, I am going to raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, and in open daylight." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has allowed your sin to pass. You shall not die. However, since by this deed you have shown utter disrespect for the Lord, the child himself who was born to you shall certainly die." Then Nathan went to his house. Later the Lord struck the child that Uriah's widow bore to David, so that he was very sick. David, therefore, pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went and lay all night on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him in order to help him up from the ground, but he was unwilling and would not eat food with them. Then it happened on the seventh day that the child died, and David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Behold, while the child was still alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we tell him that the child is dead, since he might do himself harm?" But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David perceived that the child was dead. So David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David got up from the ground, washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and when he asked, they served him food, and he ate. Then his servants said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you got up and ate food." And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, 'Who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me, and the child may live. But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I am going to him, but he will not return to me.'" Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and went into her and slept with her. And she gave birth to a son, and he named him Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, and sent word through Nathan the prophet, and he named him Jedidiah for the Lord's sake. Now Joab fought against Rabbah, the sons of Ammon, and captured the royal city. Then Joab sent messengers to David and said, "I have fought against Rabbah. I have even captured the city of waters. Now then, gather the rest of the people and camp opposite the city and capture it, or I will capture the city myself, and it will be named after me. So David gathered all the people and went to Rabbah, and he fought against it and captured it. Then he took the crown of their king from his head, and its weight was a talent of gold, and it had a precious stone, and it was placed on David's head. And he brought out the plunder of the city in great amounts. He also brought out the people who were in it, and put some to work at saws, iron picks, and iron axes, and made others serve at the brickworks. And he did the same to all the cities of the sons of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. Luke 11. It happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and goes to him at midnight, and says to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, because a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to serve him." And from inside he answers and said, "Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even if he will not get up and give him anything just because he is his friend, yet because of his shamelessness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Now, which one of you fathers will his son ask for a fish, and instead of a fish, he will give him a snake? Or he will even ask for an egg, and his father will give him a scorpion? So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And he was casting out a mute demon. When the demon had gone out, the man who was previously unable to speak talked, and the crowds were amazed. But some of them said, "He casts out the demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons." Others, to test him, were demanding of him a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts, and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a house divided against itself falls. And if Satan also has been divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you claim that I cast out the demons by Beelzebul. Yet, if by Beelzebul I cast out the demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out the demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are secure. But when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, that man takes away his armor on which he had relied and distributes his plunder. The one who is not with me is against me, and the one who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit comes out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and not finding any. It then says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings along 7 other spirits, more evil than itself. And they come in and live there. And the last condition of that person becomes worse than the first." While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that carried you, and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and follow it." Now, as the crowds were increasing, he began to say, This generation is a wicked generation. It demands a sign, and so no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up with the men of this generation at the judgment and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it away in a cellar nor under a basket, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body is also full of light. But when it is bad, your body is also full of darkness. So watch out that the light in you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light, without any dark part, it will be wholly illuminated, as when the lamp illuminates you with its light. Now when he had spoken, a Pharisee asked him to have lunch with him, and he went and reclined at the table. When the Pharisee saw this, he was surprised that Jesus had not first ceremonially washed before the meal. But the Lord said to him, Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but your inside is full of greed and wickedness. You foolish ones! Did he who made the outside not make the inside also? But give that which is within as a charitable gift, and then all things are clean for you. But woe to you Pharisees! For you pay tithes of mint, rue, and every kind of garden herb, and yet you ignore justice and the love of God. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! For you love the seat of honor in the synagogues and personal greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you! For you are like unseen tombs, and the people who walk over them are unaware of it. One of the lawyers said to him in reply, Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us too. But he said, Woe to you lawyers as well, for you load people with burdens that are hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build up the tombs of the prophets, and it was your fathers who killed them. So you are witnesses, and you approve of the deeds of your fathers, because it was they who killed them, and you who build their tombs. For this reason also, the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill, and some they will persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets, shed since the foundation of the world, may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the house of God. Yes, I tell you, it shall be charged against this generation. Woe to you, lawyers! For you have taken away the key of knowledge, you yourselves did not enter, and you hindered those who were entering. When he left that place, the scribes and Pharisees began to be very hostile, and to interrogate him about many subjects, plotting against him to catch him in something he might say. 1 Peter 3. In the same way, you wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won over without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your pure and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on apparel, but it should be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, the holy women of former times, who hoped in God, also used to adorn themselves, being subject to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have proved to be her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, and humble, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you would inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against evildoers. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be in dread. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, but with gentleness and respect. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who disparage your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than doing what is wrong. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all time, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone to heaven, after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Proverbs 20:1-9. Wine is a mocker, intoxicating drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. The terror of a king is like the roaring of a lion, and one who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life. Avoiding strife is an honor for a person, but any fool will quarrel. The lazy one does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. A plan in the heart of a person is like deep water, but a person of understanding draws it out. Many a person proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy person? A righteous person who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him! A king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? Psalm 119:81-96. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word. While I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, people who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me! They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not abandon your precepts. Revive me according to your faithfulness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Forever, Lord, your word stands in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout generations. You established the earth, and it stands. They stand this day by your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my misery. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I will diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad.